What's going on, everybody? I am Perry White. I'm the host of the Jaguar Journal. I want to make sure that you guys tune in live each and every Saturday morning from 7 a.m. to 9 a.m. on 107.3 FM. We also have our affiliates in Alexandria, Louisiana, as well as down in New Orleans. And if you're not able to catch us on radio live, you can subscribe to our YouTube channel as well as follow us on Facebook. It's the Jaguar Journal.
Opinionated, outspoken, informative.
The Jaguar Journal.
Your source for the latest information on Southern University sports and SWAC athletics.
A Baton Rouge sports talk tradition.
All right, everybody, bright and early on a Saturday morning, it is the Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. Good morning, everybody out there listening on Talk 107.3 FM around the Baton Rouge Capital City area, and everybody out there watching us on our Facebook and YouTube Live. Glad to have you guys with us. Excuse my tardiness this morning. It's that train I be telling y'all about. Y'all got to get up early enough to see this train, man, and it slows down, it stops, it bags up. It moves around, and I got caught with it this morning. But trust me, I am here. Do not worry. The Jaguar Journal will continue on this morning, and we're going to have a lot to talk about in today's show. But what I'm going to do, I got some guests here in the studio that's about to come on. What we're going to do right now is take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to introduce my guests, and we're going to have a full-on discussion about an event coming up during homecoming at Southern University that you definitely need to be a part of. So you guys stay tuned. Let's take a break, and we'll be back, and we'll continue to stay more of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It's the Jaguar Journal. Good morning to you. Glad to have you guys with us as we continue the show. Want to thank everybody out there listening to us on Talk 107.3 FM around the Baton Rouge Capital City area, and everybody out there watching on our YouTube and Facebook channel. Be sure to subscribe across all social media. Facebook, TikTok, X, Instagram, and subscribe to the Jaguar Journal YouTube channel, as well as we're on Apple Podcasts and on Spotify. And I got some very special guests here in the studio. If you are Southern, you should know these names. And it's the family, last name Andrews. And I'm going to let them introduce themselves, because I'm going to start with the one who works at Southern. Come on, talk to
him. I don't know if you started me or not, but I'm Don Andrews. I'm dean of the College of Business, and I've been dean now for about 27 years. Wow. It's been a great ride and having a lot of fun, and really support the Jaguars and the Jaguar Journal. I guess you guys have been around a while, right?
About as long as you've been
over. Right. Yeah. Greg Michelle, if I remember correctly.
Yep.
Right. Was a good friend of mine. Yeah. So I'm dean of the College of Business. We have the best College of Business on planet Earth. We produce millionaires. We help people more or less in terms of starting new businesses. We help people with their corporate careers. So if you want to be successful, come to Southern University College of Business. We have some great programs at the university in general. So I just really want to promote Southern University. And we have our gala on the Bluff that's coming up on October 17th, and it's going to be a great, great show. We have a great lineup. We have Evelyn Champagne King. It's a shame if you remember those songs and all the disco era. So it's going to be a great, fun food, folks, and fun. And so we basically want to invite you to that. And we're going to let Agnes Andrews, who's basically the chair of the committee, and she's been working very hard. So we want you to help her and help the students, because education is not cheap. And we need to help these students that need financial support. And so this gala, more or less 100% of the dollars go to help students in terms of scholarship support. So we want to help make sure we can give them Gala on the Bluff scholarships.
So let's go straight to you. He talking like you're not his wife. Like you, come on, Al.
And look, y'all need to get ready for our 50th anniversary party that we're going to have at the end of the year. 50 years.
Let the people know who you are.
Hello. Hello, everybody out there. I feel right at home here at this station because I have some good friends at Guarantee, Mr. Flynn Foster, Mr. Perry White.
Hello.
Lady Jack. Thank you, lady. But I'm so happy to be here because we have people that really love the university and that really love the College of Business. And really love the event that we're about to put on. Mm-hmm. All of the proceeds from the Gala on the Bluff goes to scholarships for students majoring in business, not in California, even though we love California, but we're doing this for students that major in business on the Baton Rouge campus. Mm-hmm. I have seen some young people come to me and say, you know, I got the Gala on the Bluff scholarship. I said, when did you graduate? Oh, I've been out of school for 15 years. I thought, wow. And they remember. So I'm saying to anyone that's listening, we got the event of events, which is going to be homecoming weekend. Now, the event is October the 17th. It's going to be at the Crown Plaza. We have great entertainment. We call it the Food, Folks, and Fun event, where you could actually come out, see people that majored in, that was in school when you were in school. You'll see some people that's in school now. You'll see some people like Dean Andrews and I that's almost walking with a walking stick. Not really, because I'm going to be boogieing down. I'm working on my knees. So
I'm going to tell everybody after she came in, she said, I thought you was an older guy. I'm like, oh.
You just sound so knowledgeable. And when Judy told me about you, I said, okay, you mean we could actually go on?
Yeah.
She said, yeah, okay, got it. And I want to thank Guarantee Broadcast for allowing us to come on and sell our heart.
And sponsors.
Oh, yeah, he's been a sponsor. I used to bring some little students in here and let them pitch to him what they're doing. Thankfully, he don't make me do that anymore, and he just send the check. Thank you. thank you, Flynn Foster. But, we have the event of events, and we want you to be there to help us, to help the students. Tickets are available. You can get tickets from my office now. My name is Agnes Andrews, and I've been an Allstate agent for 40 years. My office is on Acadian Thruway, and we will have tickets available there. You can call us for tickets. You can call the College of Business for tickets and our sponsorship information. Sponsorships are great because you get recognized there, you get brought up to the front, you get a plaque, you get to go first in the food line or however we serve. So, I mean, it really is great. It's a great event, and I'm just glad to talk about it.
Let me ask you, because this is the 23rd Gala on the Bluff.
Right.
How did this thing even get started from an idea to say, okay, 23 years later, here we are?
Well, our advisory council, we have a College of Business Advisory Council, and one of our advisory council members brought this to us. We used to have a little, you know, meet and greet for our alums during the homecoming, and they said, well, we need to do something. We can do more than this. And that was an event up at Lemoyne Owens College in Memphis, and he went to this particular program. His name is Lewis Henry. He's a franchise owner for McDonald's in Minneapolis, Minnesota. And he said, we should do something like this. Right, and a college of business graduate. Mm-hmm. And we should do something like this. And so basically we said, well, how can we get this done? How can we get it off the ground? And so we really partnered with some individuals at Lemoyne and Owens. We also went over to Tougaloo, did a program over in Jackson, Mississippi. So we went and looked at the program they had over there. And we said, well, this is doable. And we said, well, we got to have some investment dollars. We got to have some startup. And so some of our advisory council members were willing more or less to fund us for initially starting this program because, you know, the event hosters and the food and all that, we had to more or less do a down payment. And so we were able to do that. And the first year we had Lakeside. That was our first group. And ever since then, we've been able to attract you know, people who are not more or less the super, superstars of today, but they have been the super, superstars of past days, mm-hmm. you know. So, and we can get them at a reasonable price, and they do great work for us. And so we've been running ever since.
Yeah. And I'm just so appreciative to the people, our sponsors. We have local sponsors. We have individuals that contribute anywhere. I don't want to scare you with these numbers because we want you to come. I know I may not be able to do the numbers that they do, but we've got people that are graduates of the Southern University College of Business. As Dean Andrews said, we make millionaires.
And let me ask you this, yeah. In terms of the scholarship dollars total, where are you guys at now, what you've been able to raise to help give back to students? Because this is important. Yeah. I remember being a student, how important it was. Right. You know, some students wait to the last minute. Hey, I got to get something. They about to purge me out the system.
Right.
Then you get the students who are, you know, proactive. They letting you know in the spring what they need in the fall. But then you got those students, hey, doc, they about to get me out the system tomorrow. So for you guys, what have you guys raised so far to date in order to help students
be successful? We normally have a target of a minimum of $50,000. And normally we come in around $100,000. And we provide scholarship support to students. But we also have a little emergency fund that for students, as you're saying, that have, you know, didn't realize they had an unpaid balance and so they can't get into school.
Oh,
so
they knew they had.
Well, they tell me they didn't know they had.
They just magically thought it was going to be ignored, but they knew they had it.
Right. Well, we try to make some emergency funds available. Yeah. So it really helps us in those particular situations. Yeah. Help those deserving kids that for some reason beyond their control, or maybe it was within their control, but for whatever reason, they can't get into school, especially those students in the last semester who basically maybe have exhausted their financial aid at that particular point. So we try to more or less make sure we can, you know, retain them and get them to the finish line, and they can be more or less in F.G. Clark doing graduation ceremony.
Yeah. Let's do this one more time before we get ready to get you guys out of here. Give me all of the information for everybody out there listening, where they can purchase the tickets, how much the tickets, the numbers, to call, whatever, the website, whatever they need to know, the dates, the place.
All right.
The website is www.galaonthebluff.com.
Or either is Agnes Andrews, Allstate Insurance Agency on Acadian Thruway. The number is 225-383-0877. And Dean Andrews' number is 225-921-3890. But I want to answer that question that you asked him that he got so excited talking about the emergency fund.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, because, see, I was one of those students that had to ride a school bus from New Roads. Shout out to New Roads. To New Roads to Southern every day. And my mama told me, you need to save your money. But back then, tuition wasn't like it is now.
Mm-hmm.
So we were able to piece together the little money to go to school. So I am so appreciative for the opportunity that I had. I was kind of rebellious then. I didn't want to go to college. I mean, what's that? I don't need that. And I had a very directing mother that said, you going to school because you're not sitting up in here waiting on a job to go and wash clothes for people or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm so glad that she pushed that into me and that I went to Southern and graduated, and I haven't looked back. I met my husband that I've been married to for 50 years. We were able to live pretty close to the American dream, And that's what we're all about. So you know where the tickets are. You know when the event is. You know where the event is at Crown Plaza. It's homecoming. Always remember, as long as we're going to be doing the gala, as long as we're standing, it's the day before homecoming. It's the Friday night.
Homecoming Friday.
Yeah, homecoming. We call it, yeah. And this year going to be the best year ever. But we were so fortunate to have one of our very successful graduates mm-hmm. 1 year contribute $1 million.
Really?
Yes, sir. So that really make us look good.
Yeah, no
Mr.
doubt about
Flint,
it.
Mr. Flint Foster knows.
Right. $1 million yeah. every right. day.
I know, but to give it to these students.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
so that's how the name of the MBA program came about. What's the name of the MBA program, Dean?
Malvo MBA program.
Mm-hmm. Graduate of Southern. He gave $1 million. We have people. So some years
we just started a new program. The Alliant Foundation gave us $1 million also to start the risk management and insurance program. So that program is giving out scholarships of about $5,000 each semester.
Yeah, I had an opportunity to hear about right. that when I was in Atlanta, and they were right. going around recruiting right. students, and that was one of the biggest things right. that they were talking right. about, yeah. this new program for students to want to get into.
Right. Yeah. So we want students to get into the insurance business, and it's a really lucrative industry. Miss Agnes has been in there for 40 years, so we want to go out and create students who basically can have great careers in insurance. And we're going to have some fun. As we said, we have Evelyn Champagne King. We also have Dwayne Dupsy, the Zydeco King. He's going to be there. And we have Harry Anderson's Jazzy Jazz Band that's going to be there as well. So it's going to be food, folks, and fun. We're going to raise some funds for students. It's just going to be a great event. And so we're going to continue this Jaguar legacy.
And Mr. Perry White.
Yeah.
Hello.
We're going to get that train. We're going to name it the Perry White Overpass.
I appreciate you, man. I really do appreciate you. Yeah.
But I'm going to tell all the ladies, you know, we have a chance to dress up, look kind of cute, mm-hmm. put on our high heel shoes when we walking in. You know, we all have our little flats for when we dance.
Mm-hmm.
So get ready to have a great time. Eat some good food, meet some wonderful people, meet some people with some opportunities that, you know, I'm at this point in my life, 40 years, I'm 49 years old, and, you know, you might want to change careers. I might want to be a radio personality. Yeah. Hello. We met a nice young man when we came in. We meet you. I'm just all excited. Well, I just thank y'all so much for making this available. And if you forget where to buy the tickets, just remember Allstate on Acadian Thruway. I've been there for 30-something years. Just drop in there and tell us you need a ticket. We're going to help you. The tickets are $250 each. Mm-hmm. So set aside a little money, you and your significant one, to come out, get pretty. Get ready to have some good fun. Say, go Jaguars.
Hey, go Jaguars. I want to thank you guys for coming in this morning and giving us this information. And I will continue to push this for you guys and talk about it as well. And if anybody has any questions, I'll make sure to send them over to you guys.
Thank you.
Well, thank you very much. And
I appreciate
Go Jaguar Journal.
I will appreciate you. All right, everybody, let's get ready to take a break. We'll come back on the other side and continue more of the conversation. Stay tuned. It's the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It is more of the Jaguar Journal. I'm Perry White. Glad to have you guys with us. It is bright and early on a Saturday morning. Want to thank Dr. Donald Andrews and Agnes Andrews coming in talking to us about the gala. Be sure to get your tickets to 23rd Annual Gala on the Bluff during homecoming October the 17th, 2025. It's going to be at the Crown Plaza here in Baton Rouge, Louisiana. Semi-formal attire, doors open at 7:30 p.m., you know, when it's homecoming, you're always looking for an event to go to, somewhere to enjoy yourself. Well, this is one of the ones to do it. And guess what? It's for a great cause, benefiting scholarships, a fundraising scholarship fund for the College of Business to help those students. And I can tell you firsthand, being a student at Southern, what that's like when, as you hear, you get those students who come in and say, look, I need this, I need that in order to stay in school. How do I make this happen? How do I find funds? And this is exactly the type of things that I like to support, because at the end of the day, I can recall being a student needing those funds. And I understand exactly for the millions of students across the country, school is hard to afford, especially when you that generation trying to make a change in your family, and a lot of times you don't have the resources or the backing at home or someone who can just come cut that check. You don't have grandma or grandpa who you can just call and say, hey, can I borrow a couple dollars? Hey, can you write this check for my tuition, my housing, my books? So I definitely understand what it means and the importance of being able to give back and the importance to be able to get this money to help these students, because although I was not in the College of Business, I was in political science. So, but at the end of the day, students are students, and we love Southern University. Our job is to make sure that we help the students, that we make sure we give back to the students, and that we make sure as they matriculate through the system at Southern University that we do everything we can for them to be successful. Because at the end of the day, that's what it's all about, success. And at the end of the day, those are the stories of Southern that we continue to want to tell. I'm a story of Southern that I continue to tell and talk about all the time, of the people who were in position to help me to see that I was successful, that I'm in the best position to do the right things at the right time, to do what I need to do in life. And that's where I'm in. That's where I am today. So, Mike, let's get ready to do this. Let's take a quick break. When I come back on the other side, I'm going to open up, and we're going to talk a little bit more about Southern University. We're going to talk about the SWAC. I want to make sure I got everything prepared and ready for you guys. So let's take a break, and we'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal. All right, everybody, we're back. It is the Jaguar Journal. Good morning. Glad to have you guys with us. It is a good Saturday morning. Football is upon us, and guess what? Let's talk about last week around the SWAC as we're heading into week three this week. Week two was last week. Let's look at some games. UT Rio Grande took on Prairie View last week on the road. Rio Grande is a program in their first year on the football level of Division I. Prairie View was down in this ball game, but they battled back, ultimately losing this game. 27-21, just wasn't enough time on the clock for Prairie View as they staged their comeback. They fell short. How about the Cousins up in North Louisiana taking on Ohio State? Grambling went on the road to take on the number one team in the nation. And it was, besides the band, that was actually a football game that was played. How about Ohio State in this ball game? 70-0 over Grambling. Grambling, don't schedule that again. Don't. I know Travion Scott, my guy. Travion, don't do it no more. Leave that game alone. We can stay local. We can play Louisiana Tech, ULM. Hell, go play LSU. Stay away from up there in the horseshoe. All right, 70-0. Then Bethune-Cookman goes on the road, takes on number 5 Miami. And the SWAC had a tough weekend taking on some top teams in the nation. Black college football on the Division I side had some tough time taking on some of the tough teams and top teams in the nation. Bethune goes to take on number 5, the Miami Hurricanes. 45-3 is the final in this one. Then Texas Southern goes out to the West Coast like Southern today. They took on Cal. 35-3 was the final in that one. You see where I'm going with these? You don't hear any stats. I'm not going to give you any stats in none of these games. And then we'll take it to the last one, where it was that FBS versus FCS, where Jackson State went on the road to take on Southern Miss over in Hattiesburg. 38-20 was the final in that one. Many Jackson State fans thought they were good enough to upset this Southern Miss team, but Southern Miss seemed just to have enough in the tank to keep the lead and to hold on to win this one by 18. Let's keep it going. Last one, Florida A&M on the road taking on Florida Atlantic. FAU 56-14 was the final in this one. Florida A&M falls short to Florida Atlantic. Then Mississippi Valley State goes on the road to take on Tarleton State. 59-3 was the final in that one. A lot of blowouts last week. My God, just a lot to a little scores. Southern is one of those, a lot to a little. Let me just go ahead and put that one out there, but I'll come back to that one. Alcorn State going on the road, taking on Alabama A&M. Alabama A&M getting the victory 41-31. It was Alabama A&M's first time beating Alcorn State. Get this, people, since 2011. Y'all heard me right. It was Alabama's A&M's first time beating Alcorn State since 2011. 41-31 was the final score in that one. And then Pine Bluff up at UAPB, they had an Arkansas FCS matchup taking on Central Arkansas. 41-17, the final in that one. UAPB found some opportunities early but could not capitalize on them, forcing some turnovers. They got on the board early in that one, 7-0. But ultimately, UCA on their next five drives just took it to the end zone on the Golden Lions and ultimately won that ball game. And then right here on the Bluff, the big game that we circled as the game of the week last week, Southern University taking on Alabama State. Of course, Alabama State had just had that back-and-forth game with UAB, the University of Alabama at Birmingham the week before. And then they came into Baton Rouge. 52-42 was the final score in that one with Alabama State, and UAB. And now, Alabama State and Southern. And I'm going to open up the phone lines at the 8 o'clock hour for you guys to talk to me about it, because Southern played fairly well in the opening two quarters, right? First half, kept it close. They did a great job defensively at containing Andrew Boddy, did not allow the big plays, kept him uncomfortable in the pocket, rushing him, getting some sacks, fumbles as well, just didn't look comfortable. But then in the second half, Alabama State's offense started taking advantage of the miscues by Southern's defense, and they slowly but surely chipped away. And Southern's offense did not make it any better because of the turnovers. And let's look at this ball game as we go back into it. Alabama State in this one, 21st downs, 4 of 10 on third downs, and they were 0 of 1 on fourth down. 369 total yards of offense for the Hornets, 198 yards in the air, 171 on the ground on the other side for Southern University. 18 first downs. They were 9 of 15 on third down, 0 of 1 on fourth down. 339 total yards of offense for Southern University, 160 in the air, 179 on the ground. The problem in this ball game that really, really hurt Southern, and it almost cost Southern the game before against Mississippi Valley, let's just put it out there, the turnovers. Four turnovers in this ball game for Southern, two by way of fumble, two by way of interception. Southern just had a tough day being able to maintain the ball. Andrew Boddy for Alabama State, 16 of 25, 198 yards in this ball game, throwing for two touchdowns, a very modest day. Hossclaw, the running back for Alabama State, 14 carries for 52 yards. His longest of the game was 13 yards. And how about a former running back at Southern University, an Alabama native now at Alabama State, Carl Ligon, 8 carries for 49 yards in this ball game. On the other side for Southern, a tough day for Cameron McCoy. He was 14 of 29, passing for 160 yards, threw his first touchdown of the season, as well as two interceptions to go along with it. Trey Holly from the running back position, 15 carries, 70 yards in his ball game. His longest was 13 yards run on the day. Cameron also added 55 yards on the ground with 11 carries. Mike Franklin attacked on 48 yards with 8 carries, and then Barry Remo, 3 carries for 6 yards. How about Cam Jefferson, the leading receiver in this one? 2 receptions for 53 yards and a touchdown off a 46-yard long touchdown pass and grab. Darren Morris in this one, 3 receptions for 38 yards. If you get where I'm going with it, Southern are only able to put up 7 points on the board. Turnovers don't help. Interceptions, fumbles, miscues. Now, from my personal experience watching this game, and you guys know I don't sugarcoat it, I don't have a problem. And hey, I told y'all last week, when I picked Alabama State, if I was wrong, I would give you the entire 2 hours as the Jaguar Nation to call and tell me how horrible of a picker I am. And I normally don't go against Southern. Hardly ever have you heard me here on the Jaguar Journal go against Southern. But I think my eyes work. I think what I saw for the sample size for the first two games of the season in week 0 against North Carolina Central, and in week 1 on the road in Itabena, I took it a win as a win, but I think anybody who watched that game knew we were in trouble. No Southern football program should be struggling with Mississippi Valley State ever. That's why Southern holds the all-time record 41-9 over Mississippi Valley. That's why the last time Southern lost to Valley 6-0, it got a coach fired in Stump Mitchell. That's no knock on Mississippi Valley, but the distance in the program is there. But it's not so much there this year. Now, watching Southern in that game against North Carolina Central, let's go back and look at that game. If it is not for the two explosive plays, one from Trey Holly, the other one from Cam McCoy, Southern doesn't score in that ball game. But I'm not going to do the woulda, coulda, shouldas. Offensively, Southern sits back. It runs the ball inside zone. Seems to be the play to go to. It's either to the left or it's to the right. No doubt about it. But at the same time, let's look at just the offensive production. The numbers are there, but Southern is no longer able to get into the end zone. And before I get into the offense, because at the 8 o'clock hour, I'm going to break down this entire offense for you, and I'm going to go back all the way to 2017 to now. I'm going to give you a full analysis of Southern's offense over the years to where we were to where we at now. But Southern's offense isn't the only problem. Southern's defense has been giving away plays. But what do you say when your offense is on and off the field and keeping your defense out there? On the other side, I think an area that has really become atrocious to me, special teams. If you're going to be a champion in the SWAC, if you're going to be a championship program, period, three phases of the game right now, Southern does not look good in all three phases of the game. It's constructive criticism. Take it how you want it. I know sometimes coaches and many others at Southern, they listen to this show. They don't like what I say, but I'm not lying. If I'm lying, call in and tell me I'm a liar. 225-499-1073. Say, period, why you a lie? And I say, okay, let's break it down. Let's see where I'm lying at. But as much as I love Southern, I got to be a truth teller. I'm not going to sit here and act like because I graduated from Southern, I cover Southern, I love Southern, that it looks like the brand of football we want at Southern, because it does not. Right now, the direction of what this program looks like is not championship caliber football, because we've had an opportunity this year to play two teams who are possible championship caliber programs, and that's in North Carolina Central. Don't let the 1-2 record fool you right now where they stand after they play Southern. They had to play Old Dominion and New Hampshire. Mike, look at the phone line. Somebody might be calling telling me I'm a lie this morning, and I'm willing to listen to it. Let's look at where they stood against Alabama State, who's a possible threat for a SWAC East Division title. We got on the line? Chuck, give me something real quick. I got about a minute. Good morning.
Good morning. What you were talking about, hey, you made a prediction. You did it from it was in your conscience to do that. It doesn't matter if you're graduating from the school, but also I'm gonna land on this one. Hey, you know, when it comes to getting players out of the portal, I watched Edna Carr and American Heritage last night, two nationally ranked teams in the Superdome, and Edna Carr pulled it down 24-17 in overtime. And a lot of those guys there, you never start hearing 4- and 5-star. Going to LSU and all these other schools, and I said, well, you're missing out on these guys. You don't know who you have. And even those who are not those 4- and 5-star, you have a lot of talent out there on that Superdome turf down there in New Orleans. I'm going to land on that one.
Thank you, Chuck.
All right.
Just being honest, y'all. People can say, hey, have you been a coach before? No. I know football. I officiated, and I understand what it takes to have thick skin. Do you know how many people yell and cuss and fuss from the sidelines to the stands? I can take constructive criticism. I don't get in my feelings about it. If it's something I know I've done wrong, I fix it and I work on it. If it's something, it just comes with the territory. That's why I have no problem coming on here having these conversations, and then people side-eye me and look at me any type of way. It don't bother me. I'm going to be okay. I got thick skin. Words ain't going to bother me. I'm okay if somebody constructively criticizes me. If it's something I can get better, I get it all the time in my profession. Hey, work on your mechanics. Hey, look at this. Hey, watch this. I watch a ton of football film. I've seen a ton of football to know what's good football, a good brand of football, and what's a bad brand of football. And if you want my honest opinion right now, what I see from Southern University in 2025 is not a good brand of football. Some of you out there can agree. Some of you can disagree. Three games in, I'm noticing what it is. If I was to grade offense, defense, special teams right now, and I'm a tough grader. Offense, you borderline D minus F. The production is there, but it's not doing anything to get us into the end zone. From the quarterback position, we finally, three games into the season, against FCS opponents, got the quarterback to pass over 100 yards in the game. Defense, about the best thing we got going, and it's still not where I think it should be. I give a defense a D+, a low C, and I'm being generous. Special teams right now, F. I do not like what I see out of special teams. From missed field goals to no return game to bad punting, I do not like what I see out of special teams. But guess what? That's just my opinion. You can agree to disagree. I'm not the coach at Southern. Many at Southern will look and say, well, I don't like what he has to say. That's on you. All right, everybody, we got to get ready to take a break. We're at the top of the hour. When we come back on the other side, I'm going to break down this offense a lot more for you. I'm going to look at offensive production from 2017 to now. I'll give you a full rundown of where we at as Southern University has now made a change at offensive coordinator position in terms of play calling from Mark Fredericks to now Fred McNair. So you guys stay tuned. We'll be back. More of the Jaguar Journal.